We find ourselves in a jam. The world is topsy-turvy, upside down, and we cry out, God, fix it. And when he doesn't, we curse him, and we wonder, where is God? Well, the writer of Hebrews reminds us, right out of the chute, that in fact he's been here all along, and in fact he did come to us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace, online at agradio.org. Pastor Chris Gordon yesterday began our journey through Hebrews. We're back in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, as we focus our attention once again on this marvelous passage before us. Here's Pastor Chris with today's Abounding Grace.
The author is saying something important to us right from the get-go. Jesus Christ is God's revelation to you. He is the Messiah. So you must give yourselves to listen to him. I mean, wasn't this the problem of the disciples in the Gospels? They were walking with Jesus, but they weren't listening to him. This is my beloved Son, said the Father. Hear him. Hear him. For if, the whole thesis here as we're working in the book of Hebrews, if we turn away from him, we're in big trouble. Judgment's real. You're not going to escape it. And there's no other name given in under heaven by which people may be saved. So are we listening? Are we hearing him? Oh, says Hebrews, I got a lot to tell you about him. And that's where the book begins. It begins with this great question as to whether we have understood who is speaking to us and whether we've heard him. The book is so pastoral. It really is. You're going to see that as we go. It's a pastoral concern for defecting people. It's a pastoral concern for drifting people. A pastoral concern for those who are tempted to fall away. And he's about perseverance. He's about helping them with endurance. And he wants you to know something very important today. God is very much talking to you. Will you hear God's beloved Son? So that's where we begin. The simple message in the introduction to this book is to recognize the Son of God for who he is and to respect his redemptive word to you. That's the beginning point of the introduction to the book, to recognize God's Son for who he is and respect that redemptive word that has been spoken to you. There's three things I briefly will emphasize this morning. I know that time has gone fast here. Don't worry, they're short points. First, that the author addresses how God's speaking to us. And then the author is addressing who is speaking to us. With this intention that you would persevere in the difficulties of this present age. Let's begin real quick with this. How is God speaking to us? In verse 1, notice how the book begins. Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. He breaks down history. He's thinking in terms of what we call eschatology here. He's thinking of two sort of epochs, if you will, ages of how God has spoken to us, the time before the coming of Jesus and the last days that we are living in. It's really a remarkable thing that challenges us. Long ago, God spoke. He says. And he's always spoken to his people. He did it at various times and in different ways is how God spoke. We think of the Old Testament and we think that God was just constantly speaking in these amazing ways that would be great to hear. And that people had the exciting experience of directly hearing from God. So it must have been a much more real experience to their faith. It's true that God spoke in various ways, different kinds of ways. He spoke in dreams, and he spoke in visions. God spoke in all kinds of various ways at different times. So it would be a time here, and then a long time would pass, and then a time here, and then a long time would pass, and then a time here. At one point, he spoke through a donkey. You know, that would be really cool today to put a donkey up here, right? I just said cool. One of my kids, the young people, said, that word is so 90s, Pastor. Stop saying that. If we put a donkey up here and the donkey spoke, you'd be glued to it. But Pastor Gordon, nah, you know, come on. That's just not that exciting, you know. But a donkey, are you kidding me? The author of Hebrews is addressing a great misunderstanding. It was not perfect as we think it was. That speech was, we think, continuous and exciting. Sometimes people didn't hear for God, from God, for hundreds of years. Think of the period between the Old and the New Testament. That speech was in fragments. It was dangerous. As a matter of fact, when Sinai happened and God spoke, remember what the people said? No, don't let him speak. Moses, you speak. We'll die if we hear that voice. See, I think the first point the author wants to make and address is that you live in the best time ever. It's not even close in comparison. You live at the end of the age. And what's remarkable about that, beloved, is the apostle would never have dreamed we'd still be here in 2022. Never have dreamed it. You're in the last days. You are close. And what he's saying to us is, we have a final, decisive word in fulfillment from God. He has spoken to us in these last days through his Son. He is the Word. And he gave us the inspired Word. The Word that gives us everything that we need to know for life and godliness. Everything. It's a complete Word to us. And he closed the canon until he comes again. Remember in John's Gospel how much he was saying this. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. John 8. So I think when you look carefully at the context, the heart of what Hebrews is dealing with is a people who were not satisfied, number one, with the way God was speaking to them. This preaching thing's cumbersome, we think. I mean, you guys sat and listened to a lot of sermons. And we try to do the best we can to be effective in delivering it and not boring. I know that's a challenge. But do we have the respect for what's happening? God in the Old Testament, we think, spoke in this exciting, powerful way. And the author is saying, don't you know that in these last days, Jesus himself is speaking to you through the Word? And you have all you need? I think that's why he's about to say, see that you do not refuse him who's speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from where? Heaven. Where is he now? Heaven. And he's still speaking. This was the great conviction in Protestant churches from the beginning, that the word was given back to the people. And in the ministry of the word, that's why they used to use the old phrase, and I know it's been abused, but say the Vox Dei, the voice of God was in the man speaking the word, whom was sent. How will he hear without a preacher, and how will they preach unless they're sent? There was something very important to that, and that the preacher was speaking the heavenly word of Christ in the word that was revealed to us. That's been my huge battle as a pastor for many years now. a great dissatisfaction with this. What battle have I fought my entire ministry? A constant battle of Christians who have tried to go back to dreams and visions and direct revelation from God as a way of speech before the time that Jesus came. And the great push on God has been in our present age. I want more from you outside of your word. We think, is that really a big deal when a pastor or teacher claims that God spoke to them personally? Or someone who is a teacher who says, I got direct revelation from God, or children, you can get direct revelation. Is that really that big of a deal? Is the canon closed? When Hebrews says that God has spoken to us through his Son, he's saying you have a complete word. And you have a word in fulfillment until he comes again. And it's serious enough that if you add to this word, end of Revelation, I will plague you. I will plague you. When we go outside of the revelation of the word, you're attempting to go back to a way of speaking that sets aside the living voice of Jesus and his word. That's what Hebrews is saying. In exchange for something you think is more fulfilling. And that's why Peter would write, we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you would do well to pay attention to. See how hard that is for us? Pay attention to this. It's the lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. 1 Peter 1:19. I would suggest that one of the reasons the church is emptying today, that a pandemic could so easily make us more worried about holding on to our lives than receiving the living word of eternal life, and how easily people can drop it, is because we've lost confidence in hardship, in the ministry of the word, that Jesus himself is speaking to us. Think about that. That Jesus himself is speaking to us, the King. Hebrews is saying, if you can so easily set that aside for something you think is more, that is one of the most dangerous things you could do, because you're not listening to Jesus. That's why you have pastors to minister the word to you. So what does the author do at this point? He raises a few major themes in the book to make a strong point. Why should you give yourself to listen carefully to the word of Jesus? Because do you know who is speaking to you? That's what he's doing. He breaks into what was known as an early creedal-like hymn to celebrate the awesomeness of who's speaking. This one who speaks to you, notice what he says, God the Father appointed heir of everything. That's a direct play off Psalm 2. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. So kiss the Son, lest you perish in the way. The one who is speaking to you from heaven through his living word that he's handed to you is saying everything is his. Your lives, the heartbeats, the whole vast creation around you, all of it belongs to him. COVID, your life, the days appointed for you to live, it's all his, under his feet. Now, do you see the problem? If you look over to Hebrews 2:9, you see it. It's a big verse. If you want to write it down, I'll read it. In putting everything in subjection under his feet, now notice that. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, He left nothing outside of his control. What a verse for our days, by the way. He left absolutely nothing outside of his control. Nothing. Do you believe that? At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. That's our problem. That's what he's worried about. You don't see it, so you think there's no power in it. That's why people become so discouraged. Because we don't see this as we want. I don't see it as I want. I mean, I think this has been the challenge with worship, that we want more glory to it in the present, you know. And this faith thing as opposed to living by sight, come on. I want to live more by sight, not by faith. And until you understand this about Christianity, you will always sit in the pew dissatisfied with a hard heart. You'll never be satisfied like Israel with God's ways. The whole experience of the Christian church in America has been trying to push God to give us more to see and touch and handle. And he's given you a table. But that's not good enough. But see the encouragement in this. Here's the truth of the matter. The entire world was created through him. Verse 3, he upholds, notice this, the universe by what? The word of his power. You have no idea, and I have no idea what this place would be if that were not true. All the craziness that we're experiencing right now is to shake the nation so that Jesus would get people's attention. Does he have ours? This is the perspective. I said to Darcy the other day, can you imagine if Jesus and his governance decided, with all this rebellion against him and hatred, if he decided to give us another huge pandemic right after this one called the Black Plague? That would utterly make people crash and burn. The perspective of the Christian is what the Psalm says. That even if the mountains were picked up and hurled in the midst of the sea, even if all the foundations are destroyed, I can be still and know that he's God and that he cares for me and that he rules over everything. It's all his. And that President Biden and any leader in this world, they're not in control of anything. I'd get stronger if I could on that. All things are subject to him. And this one has declared his love for you. What a perspective about the future. Do you know who's speaking and ruling? He's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. In his transcendent glory, he's God. As Calvin says, his likeness is not veiled. He's the express image that represents God himself. Whatever is true of God is expressed to us in Jesus. You've got God. And he's speaking. It's overwhelming. God speaks to us. God has come to us. From heaven in his Son, God upholds us. God keeps us and he helps us. And he has just told us everything's under his feet. And here's the most overwhelming truth of the book. This one who has spoken, who upholds all things, everything was created through him. He was at creation. He's eternal. He, after making purification for your sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You want to talk about power. You want to talk about power. He's upholding all this. He's keeping all this. And as Hebrews 7 will say, by the power of his indestructible life, he forgave your sins. He rose from the dead. The author wants you today completely overwhelmed by the power and the supremacy of Jesus. Do you see the pastoral implications of this today? That's what I want to leave. Do you see the pastoral implications of it? It's a word of encouragement to you in difficult times. When everything's going against you. When you're weary of it all. When you're troubled. When you're sick. When you're weak. when you've experienced death, when you're discouraged, fix your eyes on Him. That's what He's going to say. He's the author of your salvation, Hebrews 12. But He's saying something up front to us today to close. We must give the most careful attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. That's so important. You don't see everything right now as you want to see it. I get it. I don't. But He's ruling. It's all His. Everything's subject to Him. So, listen to His voice. Don't refuse Him who's speaking to you with a bad attitude. Don't go back to anything outside of the Word. That inspired Word you have. Come up to His house every week with joy and confidence that He's speaking to you and that He's caring for you and that He's loving you and that He's going to fulfill His word of promise to you. That's what this is going to be all about. This world is crazy and hostile. Supplies no answers. And you're going to see real soon, I promise you, what it means to kiss the Son lest you prepare perish in the way. Get on for the ride. We live by faith, not by sight, but soon you will see. Our greatest responsibility in this time, beloved, as the introduction of the book, is to hear that word with profit. This is my beloved Son, says the Father to you. Hear Him. Are you hearing Him? And in hearing Him, believe Him. Trust Him. And the author of Hebrews is saying, you will have the power that you are so tempted to seek in anything and in everything else. That's His word to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this marvelous book. As we open it, begin with this introduction, I pray that we would listen to the voice of Jesus today. Through the Word, having confidence in that. Let us not go back as these early Christians were tempted to do, to move away from Jesus. Give us trust in Your Word, faith in Your Word. And let us receive the comfort that this Word intends for us as we heard today. Our King lives and reigns and is seated over all. May we be believing and not unbelieving. And as the question was posed to Peter so many years ago, do you also want to go away? When they were pressed with the Word of God? May it be all our answer. You have the words of eternal life. Where else would we go? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, we are out of time today, and we'll close today's program out. But look forward to seeing you next time we get together as we continue our studies here in God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon here on Abounding Grace. Questions, comments about the program, we always are delighted when you take a moment and reach out to us. You can do so by email, questions@agradio.org. Again, questions@agradio.org. Now, that may be the address, but you are more than welcome to send along suggestions, comments, praise reports, prayer requests, not just questions alone. Again, you can reach us at questions@agradio.org. You can learn more about us at agradio.org. Also, listen to past radio programs. Again, that's agradio.org. Or call us, 888-504-8805. Again, that's 888-504-8805. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Visit our website for those links to the platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. And then, as always, we are excited when our listening audience comes alongside of us financially, prayerfully, to help support the radio program. This is a listener-supported broadcast, and we are able to reach most of the United States as well as North Africa through your faithful partnership with us financially and prayerfully. We look forward to hearing from you and trust the Lord to direct you along those lines. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.